For 3 months, I've been preaching through the Gospel of John at my morning church, the First Congregational UCC of Coloma. And so this is the final message in that series. And it's all about the final chapter in the book, the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. But I realized that the end of chapter 20 seems to end the book. And so the first verse that David read there was the end of actually chapter 20. And so it seemed like they were ending the book. So what's happening with this 21st chapter? Well, the Gospel of John was written down probably about 60 years after Jesus' death. It was put together by a group of Jewish Christians in Ephesus that called themselves the John community. And they emphasized the disciple John and the centrality of love. Now, these authors concluded their book with the 20th chapter. It included four stories of what happened after Jesus died. Now, it was years later then, after the completion of the book, the next generation decided the book needed an epilogue, one more chapter. So they added this 21st chapter with some additional stories about Jesus after he was crucified. And so the question I'd like for us to be pondering is, why did the next generation of the John community add the epilogue, the 21st chapter? Why another chapter? Well, I think the first reason they decided to add this epilogue is because of the tension that was in the early Christian movement between those who were more closely aligned with John and those who were more closely aligned with Peter. The John communities and the Peter communities found their experience with Jesus to be a bit different. I mean, the John communities emphasized love, while the Peter communities talk more about salvation from sin. Now, they both followed Jesus and considered themselves Christian. But eventually, there was this desire for more unity, less division between those John communities and the Peter communities. And as a result, a concession was made by the John community to add this epilogue to their gospel. For in this chapter, the 21st chapter, it's Peter and his primacy it gets highlighted. It's Peter who's going to oversee the tending of the flock of God's people, not John. So this concession by the John community brought, in a sense, those two sides together. And that Peter community, eventually we get the papacy and the popes we have now kind of comes out of that whole Peter community. But the symbolism of this unity was that miraculous catch of 153 large fish of all kinds in a net that David said was unbroken. And it was a way of expressing the inclusiveness of the church at that time that included both Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, men and women, and also the John communities and the Peter communities, an amazing diversity unified in following Jesus Christ. And there is value, I believe, in working together in unity with those who are not like us, with those who are different, maybe even those who think differently than us. Also great value in being a church that welcomes and affirms all, that doesn't exclude people, doesn't look down their nose at anybody. And that's what, of course, it means to be an open and affirming church that this church has been for its entire existence. So I believe the first reason this epilogue was added was to enhance the unity of the church. Now, the second reason I believe this epilogue was added was to highlight a different resurrection story. I think that this particular resurrection story might have been the earliest story told about what happened after Jesus died, and that this story was overlooked by the four gospel writers because Well, it's just not as dramatic as the other stories. But I think its lack of drama maybe points to the possibly more historical, more accurate portrayal of what really did happen after Jesus died. Reading this story makes me think this might be what happened. Jesus was crucified for the ways that his love challenged the Roman and Jewish leadership, and his death was at first this crushing blow to the disciples and other Jesus followers. And they pondered and they prayed for weeks afterwards as they returned back to their former lives. It was just a very low time. A month or so later, some of these same disciples were having a very bad fishing day. For some reason, they sensed, well, maybe they were to fish on the other side of the boat, and the number of fish they caught was just amazing. And so they were thankful, so thankful to God for the great blessing of this great catch of fish. And this small group of disciples then gathered around a fire for a breakfast of fish and bread. And it was a lot like the type of meals that they had had with Jesus. And suddenly, it was as though they sensed Jesus' presence with them. And the disciples, they started talking about Jesus. They referred to him now as the Christ, the Messiah. And it just seemed to them, it was as if Jesus was eating with them. And after that meal there on the shore, they connected with some other former Jesus followers, told them how they experienced Jesus' presence. And they said, you know, in a sense, Jesus Christ is still alive and wants to continue his ministry with us. And so they were encouraging the others to express their love for Jesus Christ by feeding his sheep, by caring for people in need. Now, this particular account of what happened after Jesus died needed to be told. And so the second generation of the John community decided to include this forgotten story in the 21st chapter, the epilogue to the Gospel of John. It was really a very different story than the one that talked about in the other Gospels about this missing dead body after 36 hours in the tomb. A different story than the one that says that the disciples claimed that Jesus was alive on the Sunday following his death on a Friday. A very different story than the other gospel accounts that indicate that there was actually an empty tomb. A very different story than the one we celebrate and tell every Easter morning. As I've come to reconstruct my faith, I've come to believe that there's a difference between the historical human Jesus and the post-Easter divine Jesus Christ. And I brought an analogy or a metaphor, I don't know. So the muffin mix, and there's a mix in here someplace. So the muffin mix is the historical human Jesus. I believe this historical human Jesus lived and had compassion for the marginalized. I believe this historical human Jesus was a good teacher, preached about God's kingdom of love and inclusion. I believe this historical human Jesus was crucified and died because the people in power were threatened by his message of love. But the muffin mix is not the same as the muffin. Now, the muffin mix is the historical human Jesus lived between, say, around 3 BC to 30 AD. But the muffin is the biblical post-Easter divine Jesus Christ, the one that the gospel writers talk about. This is the same Jesus Christ that the disciples experienced around the breakfast fire weeks after Jesus' death. And I believe that that might have been the first time they began to understand that, in a sense, Jesus lives on, but not as the historical human Jesus, but as this post-Easter divine Jesus Christ. They felt this Jesus Christ in their hearts as they were sharing a meal together. And this same Jesus Christ is also the one that Paul experienced maybe about 15, 20 years later. And this is the same Jesus Christ that Christians continue to experience during the next 2,000 years. And it's the same Jesus Christ that you and I, that we can experience being alive and with us in our day, maybe even here with us in this sanctuary right now. So it leads to the third reason, I believe, the second generation John community added this 21st chapter epilogue to the Gospel of John, that they wanted to highlight again the ways in which our neediness opens the door for God's nearness, that our neediness helps us better see God's nearness to us. Imagine being with one of those disciples there. Jesus was gone, and he didn't just die. I mean, he was cruelly crucified. Jesus was killed by people who might want to round up and punish Jesus' followers like themselves. So they were afraid for their lives. And in addition, of course, they were just processing their loss. Suddenly had to deal with the death of someone they considered almost invincible. Disciples really were still in shock. Disciples were disappointed, depleted, discouraged. And really, they just wanted things to go back the way they were. They wanted life to flow the way it did. And on top of all this, they found themselves sitting in this boat with empty nets. I mean, their best efforts were not enough. Their established ways of doing things were fruitless. Their eyes drifted across the water as if seeking, longing for something. And in the midst of their neediness, the disciples experienced God's nearness. I mean, they cast their nets one more time before finishing up that nighttime fishing experience, and the number of fish they caught, which is so overwhelming, just an answer, an amazing answer to unspoken prayers. And after catching that enormous number of fish all at once, they gathered around that campfire to eat their breakfast. And God in Jesus Christ, for them, became so real. They felt like Jesus Christ was there for them, with them. They felt surrounded by Jesus Christ's love, encouraged by his presence, that their neediness led them to experience God's nearness. And so I think the good news we celebrate this evening is this, that our neediness still opens the door to God's nearness. And to think for a moment, just those ways in which we are, in a sense, needy. Maybe it's our health or the health of a loved one, or maybe it's some grief or dealing with some loss. Maybe it's some worries that we have, some frustrations, some disappointments, some discouragement. To think about how we are, you and I are needy today. And then as we think about that, to hear that good news, that our neediness opens the door to God's nearness, that God, through Jesus Christ, is, in a sense, with us in this room today to encourage us, to enrich us, to surround us, to remind us again of how beloved each of us are. And to continue to say to us, like Jesus Christ said to Peter in that scripture, if you love me, then take care of my sheep. I mean, pass on. Make sure you pass on the love to others. Pass it on to every sheep that needs it. Amen.